You are now listening to Bigfoot and Beyond, featuring the OG bad boys of Bigfoot, the Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive of Squatchology, the Chip and Dale of Bigfoot, and I'm not talking about the cartoon. Please welcome your hosts, the Bigfoot celebrity couple, Biff Klobo, better known as Cliff Berrickman and James Bobo Fay.
Hey, Cliff, how's it going?
Great, man. How are you doing, Bobo?
Good. I'm still in Louisiana. Just went squatching in Boggy Creek last night with Danny DuPont, our guy we had with us in Louisiana when we went on the houseboat, pontoon boat that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great location. And that's also where you encountered something back in June, right?
No, not that spot. We're going to the place where the big one walked up and pushed the tent down. We're going to that tonight. And then tomorrow night, we're going back to the High Line where we had the one on thermal.
Nice, nice. Going back for seconds. And
yeah.
Man, it's been, what, 2 days since I've seen you?
I know.
I miss you, man.
Yeah, so we got skunked last night. It was quiet, but man, I was expecting something to happen any minute.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you were out on the river itself?
Yeah.
And like in a boat?
On a bass boat.
Oh, wow, really?
So they had the big swivel chairs and all that. We brought that college kid with us, Owen.
Uh-huh.
Doing the documentary, we brought him along. And his first night squashing, he got to go float the Sulphur River with us.
Oh my gosh. Anyone should be so lucky.
I know. I'm like, it's all downhill from now on, kid. It's like you're gonna fly first class. You flew first class, your first flight, now you're condemned to coach.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna be bummed every other trip of his life.
Yeah.
Well, very good then. So you guys so Danny, I understand there's been a ton of activity in your general area lately. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, a lot. Started probably in, let me tell you the story. Okay, so I was on Facebook, and I was on, one of the Bigfoot sites, and seen this lady. I seen a post on where this lady was having problems with a Bigfoot banging on her house and pushing the air conditioning unit in on the floor and running up on top of the house and all this. So I think it was in April. And so the first night I go over there, we go over there about 10:30. Well, I met her at the day before, told her we was going to come back with some audio, and went back the first night, went out there about 10:30 one night, and got some pretty good howls the first night, probably four or five wood knocks. So yeah, and it's been pretty regular. I mean, it's pretty regular here.
And how far away is this from like where we were on the show?
4 miles.
4 miles. Okay.
Bigfoot from where my house is. I got a family of Bigfoot 5 miles east and 7 miles west. Two different families.
Two different. Are you confident of that?
I'm almost 100% sure because they're different sizes. The one that me and Bobo seen were 7 miles. It was on my uncle's property, which is about 7 miles east of here. The one that at Kettle Lake. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one at Kettle Lake was they seem to be. They're smaller. There's a 5-footer for sure. I know my father-in-law seen him. And I got a top of a head, a picture of a top of the head of a bait. So, I think that there's no 11-footer on Caddo.
Okay. And that's the one that you and Bobo both saw. Is that correct?
Yes. We seen it on June 1st at, on a High Line at about 325 yards. Biggest thing I've ever seen. I didn't know anything could be that big. It looked like when I tell people about it, the best way I can describe it is it looked like I was looking at a bull elephant head on.
Yeah.
That's the best way. That's the only way I can describe it. That's how wide it was.
Before we get into that, let's back up and let's do this chronologically. So you went over and you met the woman, and then the next day you went to her house, got some recordings and whatnot. Do we have access to those recordings, or can we put them on the show here, or is that just something that you have?
Well, I've got some recordings. It's mostly most of the recordings I have. There's a lot of wood knocks, lots of grunts, few howls. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you put them on there, Cliff. We'll have to go through them. I'm going to give a bunch to that college kid.
Uh-huh.
Making that doc. I'm giving him my video. I got a video. I actually, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, But I actually got a video of that 11 footer at 1450 yards. I got 30 seconds of on the same high line.
Nice. Yeah, that happened in July, right?
That happened in July, correct.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you can have whatever audio, video, whatever. I don't care, Cliff.
Yeah, it might be kind of nice to put it in this podcast, just like one or two of them or something like that. Since you mentioned it.
I brought some screams. Like I said, tons of wood knocks. I mean, I even got the wood knocks the night Bobo, he talks about how big and brave he was. He was scared on that audio, buddy. Let me tell you, that night.
I sure was.
When I got the wood knocks. It was actually three wood knocks loud right beside him. And I got all that on audio. I mean, I don't care. Y'all can have whatever you want to. I don't care.
Okay. So what happened after you went over and visited her house? Like, what were your impressions of the location and the woman and all that other stuff?
Actually, at first I thought, okay, let me back up. Here we go. I grew up knowing there were Bigfoot. Okay. I wasn't one of the kind of ones that started off. I didn't believe it first. Okay. When I was growing up, my family had lived on the rivers their whole life. Okay. I found out about Bigfoot about the same time I found out about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all that, about the same time. So I grew up knowing about Bigfoot. But I knew they were around here, but I didn't realize that they were so close to my house. And so when I first went over and met the lady, I was a little leery because I don't know. I was just a little leery until I seen the handprints on her window. And she had a set of handprints on her window, and I got to talking to her, and I got pretty convinced. And so that's when I went and put the audio out at 10:30. And at 1:15, he actually found my audio. I think it's the male, to be honest with you, because he was grunting at it, and he started snorting, and then I got these weird howls. At first, it sounded like a cow, because there's a kind of a small pasture beside this lady's house. So the next morning, I mean, after I listened to the audio, I went and picked the audio up the next morning and started listening to audio. I called the landowner, and you got a cow. I said, she says, there's not a cow within 4 miles of here. I said, it sounds like a cow. Well, at first I had a cheap app on my computer, audio app. So I downloaded a pretty good app and I started listening to it, and it sounded like a cow, but it has more of a growl at the end of the part.
Yeah.
But I still wasn't not sure it was a cow. So I put audio out for 65 days straight every night, and I started feeding these things. And I never heard the cow sound until exactly 2 months later, and I got the same, it was about 13 minutes of it. It did it 8 times in 13 minutes. It howled. So I thought the animals around here, we don't have a vast area like y'all do up north. We have small pockets, okay? We don't get those long Ohio calls and all that. I think the Bigfoot around here actually mimic the animals that's around here. And because on audio, I've had them come up to my recorder and do this. Try to sound like a horse. I mean, right into my recorder. And I've heard them try to mimic crows, frogs. It's just weird. It's different here. It's like every once in a while I'll get a scream that I know that sound, that sounds like a Bigfoot, but a lot of time it's a lot, mostly wood knocks. I've probably got 40 wood knocks, over a 2-3 month period, but I've probably got 350 hours of audio. And, so I don't know, man. It's just a small area. You wouldn't think they were in there. You just wouldn't think they were there.
We had record floods this spring, man.
Yeah.
It started off.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had floods, so it moved them up. I think they stayed, it's like a swamp by the lake. And I think they mostly spend their time in that swamp, but the water was up so high that it pushed them up, pushed them up toward her house. But, I told her the best thing to do, and she did it. We started putting game cams around her house and lights, and they kind of backed off her house a little bit, But there was one area that we didn't put a light up, and they still come and beat on that side of the house. It's just weird how they know they're where the cameras are. I don't know. It's just weird.
Run on the roof.
Yep. They had one running on the roof one night, but we think that's the little one. We think there's one actually from my measurements in the video that I got a picture. I hang Cracker Jacks in the tree. Okay. I hang them by string because of the raccoon. I started when I first started putting out Cracker Jacks and peanut butter, I just put it on the ground. And I put out a video, and I picked up a raccoon. So I started hanging Cracker Jacks from the string, and like fishing string from, you know, so only one thing can grab it, you know, a Bigfoot, something with hands about 6 or 7 foot off the ground. So I got pictures. Well, I got a 15 second video of when I looked at the video, I didn't see anything, but I noticed the Cracker Jack box was swinging. And I looked, and there wasn't no wind at all blowing. And I backed it up, and I said, dang, I just couldn't figure it out. And then I seen its head. I got about, how would you say, Bobo, about half his head, top of his head.
Yeah, it looks like a little ear in the brow ridge.
Yeah, it looks like a little ear. And looks like he's got a small scar or maybe a hairline on the top left side of his head. I probably got about 5 inches of his head. I would say 5 inches, but I could tell when he had climbed a little tree beside, he had climbed the tree that actually had the Cracker Jack box hanging in it. But the game cam, this was the first night I put out a game cam. I didn't even know how to work one. I didn't even set the date. I just turned it on. I didn't have it set right or anything. But what happened is he had climbed the little tree and was grabbing for the Cracker Jacks, but the game cam didn't come on until after he was almost out of sight, but I did get about 5 inches of his head. And I could tell when he touched the ground and he stepped, I measured that area. I figured he was about 37, 38 inches tall.
And they reported the little toddler one, like the size of a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
It was probably the same one right there then. Good job. Excellent.
Yeah.
So when did you get that picture? What month was it?
That was April, wasn't it, Bubba?
Yeah, before I came down.
Yeah, it was at the end of April. Probably okay. The end of April. I put out, that's what happened. I also got another audio, a 15 second, I'm sorry, video of, he tried to tear the video camera off the tree. And it's got the hair and it's so close to the camera that it's got that glow to it.
Yeah.
But I got 15 seconds of that, but you can definitely see the long hair, and you can see the camera moving like he was trying to tear the camera off the tree. But what was weird is that was the first night that I've ever put out. I started going out there at the 1st of April, I think April 4th or something. But I waited till the end of the month because I didn't want to, you know, I knew about game cams. I wanted to get used to me coming in there. The first night that I put the game cams out, that's when I got the videos on both videos. Both game cams got videos. And I left them out, and ever since then, I never got anything else. They actually left. They actually left for about 14 days. I think it was the little one going around. He didn't know any better. And I think he got his butt in trouble once Mama found out, is what I actually think. But once, you know, after the first night or the first two nights of me putting out the video, the game cams, they left. And so I pulled them. And I haven't put any more. I'm not going to put any more out.
Oh, that's interesting because it kind of makes sense. So the small one who is less experienced in life in general gets barely caught by a game cam and on the first night or two of putting it out. That's interesting because it makes my mind kind of think, okay, so what's different there? You know, if it's the first night it's out, it's never seen such a thing before. That seems like the easiest way for it to make a mistake and get caught. Whereas, you know, if it had been out for 2 weeks taking pictures of other animals and stuff, that gives it a lot more opportunity to see the thing in motion, or not in motion, but in, you know, lighten up other animals that walk in front of it, for example. So I imagine the terror in that little guy's heart when I got sprayed with infrared light. And I'm pretty sure that these things are seen in infrared. I don't know what you think, but that's kind of my gut feeling there.
I definitely believe that. And I actually put the camera out at 6:30 in the evening, and I got the video around. From what I could tell on the dates and the times when I turned it on, because I actually didn't set any of that. But it was we figured around 9:30, so it was only out about 3 hours before he found it. But he was trying to get the Cracker Jacks.
It's kind of reminiscent of the Sierra Sounds, if that was the case, you know, like where you hear the adult scold the young one.
Yeah.
That could be a possible scenario that happened with this.
Well, yeah, sure. Like every Bigfoot's got to learn somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And if the spraying down of infrared light didn't do it, then, you know, the mom or whoever might be nearby watching. This is an interesting thing to speculate about if they scolded each other. And that's kind of the way they pass down that knowledge, you know, which, of course, makes sense. I mean, I think that they communicate on some level like that. And that's what culture is. It's like it's knowledge that you pass down from one generation to another, which may sound fantastic. But remember, crows do that, too. Yeah. And it is fantastic. Crows are amazing. But birds do it. Or crows do it specifically, corvids in general, and Sasquatches and other primates and humans and stuff. So that's interesting.
Well, I noticed, Bob, with my audio, because, you know, when you listen to somebody eat dinner every night, you pretty much, you can figure them out. And I listen, that's what I did every night. I listened to 8 to 10 hours of audio. I pick it up every morning, listen to it all day and all night. And I could tell after the little one got caught on the camera, he was running crazy wild before then, and I'm talking about you can hear him running through the woods, and he would squeal and grunt, and it seemed like it changed. He kind of got reeled in a bit, you know, like Bubba wants to, you know, like he told me, he said, Mama got him. I think Mama, you know, put a hold to him, because he was running pretty wild there for a while.
Because on the audio clip you hear, you hear the small one come in first and get in the Cracker Jacks, and you hear the big ones come in like 10 minutes later, like it was 10 minutes ahead of the adults.
Huh. Now, is there any, again, I'm just kind of like this, so forgive me. Is there any recordings of what you interpret as the adult scolding the young one? Or is it just like that?
Well,
musky,
I actually got a recording of, I think, there's also a 5-footer. Okay. We know for sure. Okay. We know for sure there's an 8-footer, okay, and there's a mama, okay. Mama's only been seen once, and there's a 5-footer that's been seen 4 times. My father-in-law is the most honest man I ever met in my life, okay. He believed in Bigfoot because of me. And I got him to go with me one evening, and it was 6:30 in the evening, and he was following behind me. Actually, it was me, my granddaughter, and my father-in-law was behind me. And he stopped. And we was, you know, on a trail going down to where I feed him. And he stopped, and he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He told me, I don't know. I said, what's wrong, Jim? He says, I just seen something. I said, what? He says, he was peeping around a tree at me, and then it took off running. He said, it was blonde. I said, blonde? He didn't know that a week earlier, the landowner seen a blonde 5-foot Bigfoot doing the same thing, peeping at him. And he says, but what was weird is, he says, it peeped at me, and he says, it moved so fast that it was unreal. I said, what do you mean unreal? He said, it was Roadrunner fast, the cartoon Roadrunner fast. He says, it was like a flash. I says, you know what? Me and Bobo seen a flash one night, and I said, they can move pretty quick, Jim. And so we know there was a 5-footer, and the male's been seen twice, about 8 foot, and the female's seen once. The baby has never been seen, but it's been heard. You could hear the landowners, you know, hear what sounds like a baby sometimes in the woods. And I've got some, but at first I thought it was hogs, and I thought, but there's no hogs, there's no snakes, there's nothing on this property. I mean, they've done pretty much clean them out. One time, the 5-footer had already come in on the Cracker Jacks, from what I could tell, and he was in there. And I can hear him chewing the Cracker Jacks. They eat one piece at a time, and I could hear him chewing the Cracker Jacks, and I heard that little one coming, and that big one got mad. Well, we call him Junior. He's a 5-footer. And he started grunting at him, you know, snorting at him, run him off. So, you know, I don't think he wants to share his Cracker Jacks too much. But I've got a basket, a hang up, and I got it hung by string. So, you know, nothing can get in it. It's about six foot above.
Yeah.
Off the ground. It's a metal basket. And what I do is I put peanut butter in there, and I put some Cracker Jacks in there. And I fold the metal. I fold it tight. Like, I fold the basket closed because I don't want something to jump up and knock it out or whatever. And it's up by string. You can't pull it. You can't anything. I put over 50 jars of peanut butter out, Cliff. And they'll come in and they'll open the basket. They'll take the peanut butter and the Cracker Jacks. And they'll close the basket back, squeeze it closed back. And I have yet to find the Cracker Jack boxes. They'll eat them there most of the time and just throw the box on the ground. I have yet, out of 50, over 50 jars of peanut butter, I have yet to find a jar. No. So I don't know where they're taking them. If I can find that, I believe I can find their house. But I don't go snooping looking for their house. You know, I go to my spot and I bait up and I leave. I don't want to spook them out of there.
Well, just looking ahead, if you do stumble upon one of their peanut butter jars, or your peanut butter jars, rather, I guess it's theirs now, thinking about it, you might want to be prepared to do some fingerprint dusting.
Yeah, that was the whole point. If I can find a jar. Me and Bobo is going to scout tomorrow, and we're going to...
There's a track there.
Yeah, we got a track we're going to try to cast. Well, neither one of us are any good at that, but we're going to give it a shot.
I can do it.
But we're going to go look. I think I got an idea of where they're bedding at, and we're going to go check it out just to see if I can at least find one jar of peanut butter, you know?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you baited another spot or did something, you know, who knows? This could be months down the line or years down the line. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you put something out one day and you find that thing gone and a peanut butter jar in its place.
Yeah. 6 months later, a year later, something like that. Yeah, you know, Cliff, for his, he was telling me about his father-in-law scene. I thought he'd been on this property here where they live on the lake. I didn't know it was at the woman's house. We were walking in, we had headlamps on, not a pretty bright one. And I thought it was this strange tree shadow, like when you're walking with headlamps, you're moving your head around, talking, like turning your head and stuff, like shadows kind of move and stuff.
Yeah.
We both seen, I was like, whoa, that was so weird. That shadow just looked like it took off. He's like, yeah, I saw that's what it looked like to me too. And then, but we were within 50 feet of where his father-in-law had seen that. I didn't know it was on that same property. It was within 50 feet of where he saw the thing run away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bubbo said, I said, did you see that? He said, Bubbo said from left to right. I said, yeah. I said, about 5 foot tall. He said, yeah. But it moved so fast, it was just unbelievable how fast it moved across the trail. And this was at night. This was while we were going in.
Like as fast as your headlamp moves, if you turn your head out in the woods, how fast your light moves across the forest, that's how fast this thing moved.
It was scary fast.
We couldn't see arms or legs or nothing. There was just this black shadow flashing.
Yeah, I've always been told they're frighteningly fast. I think it was Bob Strain that told me that after seeing them run, he would never go in the woods unarmed again because they were so fast or scary. And I think Kathy Strain described them, the two that she saw at Area X going up the hill. She said, Cliff, it was like if you took a bungee cord and stretched it until you couldn't stretch it anymore and let it go. And that's what these things are doing uphill.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back a bit. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff happening on the property. You got some cool recordings. You've been baiting them over time. And then I know Bobo went out there in June or a little before June and stayed a few days and got his eyes on some of these on one of these things, the big one. Where does the big one figure into this family unit as far as you know?
The big one, Cliff, is actually a different family. I'm sure they know each other. They're only probably 14 miles apart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one is actually on my uncle's property. The one my uncle is the guy who had the pig pen, and the one was shaking. You know, the female was shaking the hog trailer.
I remember it well. Yeah, great story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's where we actually seen the 11 footer on the High Line on June 1st.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's at my uncle's property.
I see. So you saw that same one in July, correct?
Correct.
And so you've been working mostly that spot or another spot since then?
It got so hot, Cliff, that I didn't go out a whole lot during, you know, I kind of quit feeding them because I was worried about the snakes. And plus down here in Louisiana, it's 100 degrees, you know, at 9 o'clock at night. And it was just too hot on me and my wife to go in there. So we kind of took a break as far as feeding them. And I started going out later at night, you know, I quit the feeding part for a while. And, I started going later off night, and I've been spending my time on that high line because I can see farther and I feel like I can sneak up on them more. When I go to the Cattle Lake property, I feel like they hear me coming. I feel like they know my truck, okay? And I feel like they know I'm coming. So I've been spending more time on the high line because I can see farther, and I think I can not really sneak up on them more, but you know what I mean. I think I got a better shot. My goal is to get a good video, and I think I got a better shot on the high line because I've done seen him twice now on the same high line.
Right, right. Yeah, that's that. Twice for Bigfooting is definitely a pattern.
Right.
Yeah, most other things it takes, you know, 3, 5, 7 times, you know, but for Bigfoot, 2 is enough, I think.
Exactly.
Well, good. So what techniques are you using out of the high line? Like, what are you doing out there to either elicit an encounter or make sure that you see it if it comes out? Or like, what's your technique or your thoughts on that?
Okay. The two times that I actually did see it, the first time was with Bobo. He did a Ohio yell. Wasn't it Ohio, Bobo?
Yep.
He did an Ohio yell. 20 minutes later, the Bigfoot come out. He looked at me, and by the time Bobo got turned around, Bobo got a good shot on him. But it was 20 minutes later. What was weird? So to move on to the second time I seen him, I did a whoop. 20 minutes later, the same thing. So I don't know if he's just coming out to see what I'm doing. But a howl worked once. Whoop work second time. I'm going to try not the next time we go, you know. There's really no technique. I'm just sneaking down a levee, and I'm actually standing on a levee, and I can see about, oh, you know, high line, you can see forever, but my camera, I think it'll shoot right at a mile. And so I'm just hunkering down on the levee in some lawn chairs, man, and just being quiet. But I noticed that I waste my time to go when there's a moon out. It's best to go when it's pitch black because I think they see me pretty quick up on that levee if it's not pitch black. But I really think the night that me and Bobo seen it was pitch black, but he's seen us anyway. It's amazing how they can see that far in the pitch black.
Interesting. So you're basically just, I mean, you're kind of like just sitting in a tree stand, but it's just a, you know, a camp chair on exactly. Just being quiet and waiting for it to show itself somehow.
That's all I'm doing. And no lights going in, you know, no lights. Now, on my uncle's property, I can sneak up better. You know, the road's not graveled, and I got a better chance. And plus when I go down to the high line, I've got to walk a few hundred yards to get to the high line. So he don't know I'm there. At Cattle Lake, they pretty much, they know when I drive up. I mean, you know, when you get somebody to feed you every day, you know the sound of their truck, the highway, whatever, the tires on the highway. So they pretty much know I'm coming. That's why I haven't had a chance to really get any good. I've sit in a tent, you know, night after night trying to get video of this thing, you know, but I think they know I'm in there. And when you know, I'll leave at 2 or 3 in the morning with my peanut butter and my Cracker Jacks in the basket, and I go back at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's gone. You know, they know when I'm there.
That's the same tent I was in, Cliff, when it came in. They were outside mumbling, like clicking and stuff outside the tent that I tried to get up, and the big one walked over and shoved down the corner.
Yeah. You were telling us about that on the show, right? You told us.
Yeah, that tent's still standing there, and that's what we're going to sleep in tonight.
Okay, good. So you left the tent out there.
Yeah, he left it there for a couple months with no one using it.
Fantastic. That's great. Because again, let's go back to the advice Dennis Fohl gave me all those years ago. The most effective thing to do is you need to become a predictable feature in their environment. So instead of taking the tent in and out and like sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. If it's always there, that'll scare it a lot less, I think. You know,
exactly.
Good for you guys. Acclimate the creatures, the thingamabobs, the Bigfoots, to the tent itself.
Oh, you know what else? I'm totally over FLIR now. His Pulsar was a $3,000 unit.
$3,000, yeah.
Dude, it runs all night, like 12 hours, no problem. So there's battery left. It's far superior to the FLIR for the same price.
No kidding.
I mean, if you compare, yeah, compare the value of it. It's a better unit. It's lighter. I mean, it's got twice the pixelation as a FLIR for, you know, that same range.
And it records internally, I assume?
Oh, yeah. I'm impressed with it.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, I've used a couple of these. Like when I was out with Meldrum, I think he had one of those. And another woman on one of my trips had one of those. And I noticed that it doesn't zoom. Am I correct? Or was that just a different unit?
No, it zooms. I mean, it zooms.
It does zoom. Okay.
It's 3 to 12 power.
Oh, wow. That's kind of a lot. That really zoom in. Is it always zoomed? Because the one that Meldrum had, I noticed that it's really good if you're looking across a meadow, but much less good if the thing is, you know, 30 feet away in the brush on the side of the trail.
Yeah. Now, that's the problem, Cliff. Three power is as low as it'll go. The one I have.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But they have some, the Pulsar, that's I think 1 to 20 or something like that. Now that's the one I wanted. But you know, they wanted $5,000 for it. I didn't want to spend quite that much. I got in trouble for spending $3,000. But but it works pretty good, man. I mean I really like it. It's a really good unit.
Well, it sounds like for what you're doing, it'd be absolutely perfect.
It's perfect, man. It is perfect for what I'm doing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good. Yeah, I haven't been shopping therms for a long time, you know, so I have mine and I kind of like it. But yours would be better than mine for what you're doing, by far.
Yeah, I ordered an ATN and I shipped it back 30 minutes after I received. And I couldn't see where I spent $3,000 and got that. You know, it wasn't that good equipment. And then I got the Pulsar and, yeah, I'm glad I did. Well, Bobo talked me into it. Bobo said, get the Pulsar. So I got it. It's great.
Yeah, Bobo's golden tongue can talk a lot of people into a lot of things. So,
hey,
I'm glad it worked out for you. Can't say that for everybody.
Hey, man. That's good stuff.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bigfoot and Beyond. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe to Bigfoot and Beyond wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bigfoot and Beyond Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bigfoot and Beyond, that's an N in the middle, and tweet us your thoughts and questions with the hashtag Bigfoot and Beyond.